welcome to Inspiring Women with ADHD. I'm Renee Allen, the host of this podcast. I'm excited to be here. Now that I have my setup, I'm questioning it, but I'm just going to start talking. So I put up some new lights behind me because I read that you're supposed to do that. But then I think I need more lights in front of me, which just make a glare on my glasses and I have to redo things. I'll just do that for now. And I'll forget about it because I know you people listening on audio don't need to hear me talk about my video setup ever again. But anyway, good morning, afternoon. It is afternoon. It's 1 something here. And I'm happy to be here today. I want to talk about the emotional piece and lots of pieces of, but the emotional piece of disorganization. And because I feel it deeply when I'm disorganized. And I don't know if you do or not. Some people do. Some people have a harder time being disorganized than others. But I think it affects your life, whether you are okay with living in a house that's not always clean or has some clutter. Some people have that level of comfortableness with that, and it doesn't bother them as much as others. But there are still parts of being disorganized that it can affect you, even if your daily habits of how you put your clothes in your closet or whatever it is isn't like somebody who's got everything, you know, in a perfect little fold and hung up by colors or something. Even if that's not what you want to do, you might find that being disorganized, meaning not knowing where things are or not having them visually, I don't know, helpful, I guess. And that can mean different things to different people. So let me go look at my notes. That's why I have my glasses on. Because this all started with an idea that I had the other day, and I'm calling it my Voldemort theory, he who shall not be named theory with disorganization. So in Harry Potter, if you've read or watched Harry Potter, Voldemort has pieces of him missing. Part of his power is missing. And we get that with the very first book, very first movie, where someone has part of his power and he needs to get that power back from everyone in order to regain his power and be strong like he once was. Although I would say he's pretty strong like he is in all the movies. But he feels that loss. He is not as strong. He is not as capable. He doesn't have his full potential when that piece of him is missing. And whether it's from when he struck Harry Potter and Harry got that little lightning strike on his forehead when he was a baby, and then that's how Harry has some of that. And Harry just, am I giving any spoilers? Everyone's read it or seen it, right? Or decided not to. But there's a piece of him that's missing and he feels that. And it actually affects him and his abilities. And that's how I feel with organization. When things aren't completely organized, and granted, it's silly that I say this because have I ever been completely organized? Have you ever been completely organized? In different ways, in different areas of my life, yes. You know, like to some degree, maybe not to a perfectionistic degree, but I can look at when I was a child growing up. I had my own room. I was the only girl, and my room was pretty much clean all the time. The only thing I think that wasn't organized or that my mom had a problem with, because my room was always clean. Like if I did homework, I cleaned it up. My closet, I loved to organize my closet. And granted, it was a simple structure and I didn't have anybody else to be in charge of besides myself. But when she brought in clothes that had been folded, and I folded clothes too, but same thing, if I made those piles of pants, underwear, socks, whatever it was, they would sit on top of my dresser. I had, for whatever reason, a resistance then to doing that last step. That was really hard for me to want to do that. Was it hard to do? No. But was it hard for me to want to do? Yes. You know, that was that resistance, that overwhelm that we get with ADHD. And I saw that in that area of my life. I didn't see it as many areas of my life as I did in my late 30s, my 40s, my 50s. Now I'm young 60s. I'm in the very young part of it. But still, I need to claim it. I do. I mean, you know, what's what's the big deal? You know, we all are born in a certain year, and that's part of us. It shouldn't be a big deal. But anyway, so back to this. When I was younger, maybe I had a system that worked, even if it didn't look perfect on top of my dresser. I was okay with that. I knew where those clothes were. I could find them. In college, I don't think my room ever was a disaster. And it's not the same for everyone, right? But I did fall back on other things in systems like laundry. I love to wash clothes. I love to take clothes out of the dryer. I love to hang clothes on a line. If I had a clothesline all the time that and didn't need to do anything else, I just love to do that. But, you know, that, you know, you have priorities. But anyway, so all those things, all those systems fell apart a little bit because I didn't want to take the time out of my college schedule to go do laundry. And I had enough clothes that the only thing I was running out of was mostly underwear. I even had enough socks, and certain times of the year you could wear flip-flops. Back there we called them thongs. I don't know if younger people know that. They didn't have thong underwear. They had bodysuits. Have you heard of a bodysuit? I think bodysuits now are different, like the clothes that are made out of like a really tight or weird materials or different materials that I'm not familiar with. But a bodysuit back then was a shirt that went down and snapped at the bottom. So you could wear it tight to your skin and with high waist pants, or probably with low waist pants too. But they actually snapped at the bottom. You put the shirt over your head and you wore it that way. And we didn't think about underwear lines or anything like that. But then, you know, anyway, not that this was supposed to be about thong underwear, but they had to change calling flip-flops thongs because of that. But back to wherever I was, you may look at your life and see some parts that were organized. You might look at your life and think, my house was never organized. The house that I grew up in was never organized. And as a child, you have no responsibility in that. It is your parents' house or whoever you're living with, your grandma or your aunt, and that is their home. And you can contribute to that. You can mess it up. You can make it more disorganized. But whether you maintain that, whether you learn that, that is something that you learn growing up. Or if you don't learn it in your home, maybe your first job, your boss says, no, we're not just throwing that there. When you come in, I worked in a flower shop. When you come in, you put the keys right here to the van because I do deliveries. Or when you finish making flower arrangements, this is what you do to clean up. Now, I mentioned that this is when I first learned that not everybody had to have a clean environment. The store looked really pretty and really nice. And we had a little gift shop and we sold vases that had flowers in them or some that you could just buy and make your own or whatever. There was a gift shop aspect that was very organized. And even the counter where we rang up orders, flowers, or whatever people came in to buy, that was also clean. But you turn the corner and go back to where we were working on flowers, there was this giant table. It was like a giant square. And at every corner under it was a giant, like a 32-gallon trash can. And so after you do the flowers, you just use your arm and put everything in the trash can. And I wasn't that good at arranging flowers back then. It was for Flowers by Annette. She's still alive. Annette still makes flowers out of her own home. But she had some kind of little plaque that said something like, you know, a chaotic or disorganized, cluttered environment is, you know, indicative. That's how my brain is. But she was artistic. And she said that, like, as an artist, she liked the mess. And that's how she functioned. And that room back there, it didn't have very much order at all. Maybe some, like a nail at the wall for all the flower orders that came in that weren't done, and a nail to put through. Maybe it was a nail that went up. Do any of you remember this? It was like not a real nail, but it was sharp and it came up, and I don't know what the base was, but you actually, so you looked up, maybe they do this in fast food restaurants. I've never worked fast food, but you look up and you see the order. And you take it up and you go take it over there and you look and you make the flowers. Oh, they want this. And when you're done, you put it on that nail as done. We don't need to look at that. Now it has a hole in it. We're done, you know, way before anything was digital. And that was the order. That was the order of the system back there, but it was way messier. You know, it was 5-gallon buckets with, you know, with just this kind of flower or that kind of flower, or we'd take the thorns off of the roses. Now they leave a lot of them on, or you'd even kind of dole them, or, you know, anyway, there was a whole system, but it was messy back there. And I thought, I'm not used to being messy, but I learned that she was fine being messy. And over the years, I've learned that there are certain creative processes that I'm very, very messy about. And I don't know that I can do anything to change that. I mean, if my husband was right there with me, because he's very orderly, and said, okay, let's do this together. And we've been married almost 40 years, so I doubt this will ever happen because I've never thought of doing it. And it doesn't sound like something we do. But, you know, and said, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. When I finish, I'm going to put this paintbrush right here. I let everything kind of fan out, and then the piles kind of just pile. But when I'm done, I look at it and the clutter itself at the end, I don't want to see. In the process, I don't care. I can function that way. And sometimes I can't. I'm doing my taxes or something. Where's that paper? Where's that paper? Where's that paper? But I keep, you know, finding it. And I usually have my system as a folder. That folder's there. When I'm done with something, I put it in the folder. But everything else that's undone is a little chaotic. But that's the way my process is. And that's how emotionally, and maybe emotionally, you're fine with a chaotic process. Maybe emotionally you need a very, very perfect process, like wrapping gifts. Do you sit at a table where the surface is really flat or on a hardwood floor that would have lines in it? Like I'd want even tile. Like in the old days, they had linoleum floor, but tables are better, right? Because there's no lines. I like to do things on my bed. There are hard surfaces on my bed. So then sometimes I get out a cookie sheet or something but really I just think, it's okay if it's not that flat. But or I'll get down on the floor, but then there's a rug and, you know, it's not all perfect. So I'm willing to give up some of those perfect things that might seem like it's a very orderly, good system. I'm willing to give that up for the comfort of sitting on my bed and watching TV at the same time. Or just feeling cozier about the experience. But there's wrapping paper here, there's bags there, it's messy. But when I'm done, I can gather it all up and put it in its place. And so that's my sense of order. And that's what's brought me peace. There might be other people in my house that come in and go, what is this? You know? And they can think that if they want. The only time I've actually seen this with my husband that I've observed the difference, because we're so different in our interests of what we work on. And so we're often doing those kinds of things on our own. But when I used to scrapbook, if any of you used to scrapbook, that can be super messy. And there are people with their little piles and their rooms and their whole systems. And that was never me. I had a big table with just, you know, just like I just threw it all out there. But, and then he kind of come and take the piles and put them up because it made him feel better. But also when I get sick, like if I'm sick for a really long time in my side table, will just be my very cluttered system. And it doesn't make sense to me why I can live with that and I can't live with going in a kitchen and trying to cook when it's not clean. I don't like to do that. And you might have some inconsistencies that you see that sometimes you're orderly about things. Sometimes your system is orderly and sometimes it looks messy, but it's your system and it doesn't look organized and that's okay. But what about when things are missing? Let's just talk about like not a system. Well, I guess it is a system. Your life at home is a system. Your life at work is a system. I find that when I've worked a full-time job, that is way easier, like way, 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 way easier to be orderly at work. Because at least where I worked, I just had an area. I never had an office. Let me think, did I ever have an office? No. I just had an area that I would sit at. And I could just make it my own. And I did reorganize it probably every 4 to 6 months, I'd think, you know, I'm going to go through and redo the file drawers, or I'm going to do this. Not because it was messy. My desk was never messy. My files were never messy. But just because the flow of things, you know, like when I turn to answer the phone or when I do this, when people walk up, I saw a better way. And you might have that ability to kind of see, okay, what's working, what's not. When you reorganize something, you might buy new bins to put things in and think this is the way it's going to be, but putting it into action might be different and you might see a need to do it. It doesn't mean your first plan was flawed. You just hadn't had a chance to experience it in real life and with other people, if you have other people in your home and stuff like that. But going back to why does it bother us when things aren't organized? What is the emotional piece of that? Is there a Voldemort aspect for you when a part of your life is in disarray, isn't in order? So let's say you have children, you have a baby, and you're running out of diapers. You don't have diapers. Now I would say it must be a little bit easier that you can have things delivered for you, right? You don't have to always go to the store. But even that is a system to have organized. And if you don't even have time to do your orders, your grocery orders, your delivery orders, your pickup orders, or just to anticipate enough for a trip or whatever that is, if you don't take time to do that, it can just set everything else awry. You know, it can just make everything go bad, which is no fun at all. No fun at all. But what about things are missing? So this is what I want to talk about. Or even just you have more than you need. Does it weigh on you? Do you feel like emotionally you're not at peace? You're not at rest. You're like something is off and that you can't function at your best, even if you don't need what's missing right now, or you don't need to work on that right now. Or you may not even look at it for another year. Like it might be Christmas things. You put all your Christmas things away or decorations that you have for a birthday party or something, and you just threw them in a box and put them in the closet and thought, I'll deal with that later. Are you emotionally okay with that? And some of you might be driving your car and going, yeah, what is wrong with Renee? Why are you not emotionally okay with that? I don't know. Let's read. Let's see what experts say. So, And why can't I put it away? Why are there days that I can be really good at organizing something and doing something in an orderly way, and other days I can't maintain? I can't do that. So let's look at some of this. First of all, did you know? And this isn't a disorder. This is not in the DSM-5, but there is an organization that is the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. So there are people who have what they say is chronic disorganization. You are disorganized and it persists over a long period of time. It frequently undermines your quality of life. This is from this website. It recurs despite repeated self-help attempts. Do you see yourself there? And I'm seeing if the microphone's picking up my grandson who's talking right now. Yeah, sorry about that. I tried to record this earlier, so hopefully you don't hear him at the same time playing. But it's often present with brain-based challenges. That's what they're calling it, such as ADHD, anxiety, depression, hoarding disorder, PTSD, DBI, which I don't even know what DBI is, so let me look it up. You might know what it is. DBI meaning, I spelled meaning wrong, it's a traumatic brain injury. Oh, that's hard. And that affects brain function. ADHD affects brain function. Anxiety, you know, all these things affect brain function, and it can make us chronically disorganized. And you may have a part of your life that you can organize effortlessly, and people may show up at your house and it looks clean and wonderful and, as they say, tidy, or you may not. And I have a friend who listens to my podcast, and she was just talking about this recently. Why is my house, like, why do my counters have things on them all the time? That's how it is in her kitchen. And she can function that way, but she knows there are people who don't have their kitchens like that. So then she's wondering, is something wrong with me? Like, why am I like this? Was it because my mom was more like this? And, you know, my bathroom, I like having all the things on the counter so I can find them easily or just do my makeup easily. Or are you somebody who wants your bathroom counters to be clean and you have to open a drawer, you have to open all these things to do your makeup? All these things to consider, huh? When we get to talk about ourselves and evaluate ourselves. That's one thing I love about ADHD is it's just a way of putting the pieces together. And it's not only in myself. I'm fascinated with people in general. When I took my microbiology in college, I was making connections left and right. I was so excited to learn, oh, that's why I have an allergy attack. Oh, that's why my asthma gets so bad. Oh, that's why my brother got pneumonia after he, you know, like putting all these things together. And it doesn't even just have to be for myself. But anyway, so yeah. So there is such a thing called as chronic disorganization. And this is the piece that I was looking for when I was Googling around earlier, because I saw this whole article once on hoarding disorder, but then it was like, you know, when there's like a word in there and you can click on it to see what they're talking about. And it was talking about, because I don't think I have hoarding disorder, and there are people who do, but probably a lot of us are disorganized without being a hoarder. But when you have chronic disorganization, you can accumulate a large amount of objects, papers, possessions, everything. Do you get attached to things? I think for me, this is something I've read in here. I think I have an attachment problem. I love things more deeply than maybe is natural. And even just a pretty bag that some candy came in. The Yum Earth jelly beans came in such a cute bag, the colors and the kind of feel of the plastic. It was hard to throw it away. But I did. I threw that away. But there's a lot of things that are hard for me to throw away. Now you are going to think I'm a hoarder. But yeah, difficulty parting with things and letting go. And even if you part with a million things, you might still have a thousand things that you don't need, that might be weighing on you, that might be affecting you emotionally. And how do you part with them and let go? Oh, yeah. What if you have too many projects? So it could be just your, not just too many things, too many possessions, but too many interests and too many projects. See how ADHD plays into this? Because if you have a lot of ideas and if you have a lot of emotional intensity, and do you know we have often emotional dysregulation too? So it's what is a normal emotional upswing or downswing, or I don't know if it's a swing or a roller coastery thing. There's a baseline that a lot of people can stay at. They can stay closer to it. We see it in children, like, whoo, you know, like they're, you know, like extra, extra sad or extra, extra angry. And in humans, hopefully we don't see that as often in public, but we do sometimes, right? We see people that are angry about things irrationally. And that's thankfully that stands out because it's not as common as we see little children with, like, oh, he's throwing a temper tantrum. That's, you know, they do when they're three or whatever. But your emotional dysregulation may show up in feeling very connected to something, hearing a song, hearing, I don't know, I just thinking about Easter yesterday. I just started seeing pictures in my mind, and they're probably home movies, you know, like, are all memories from things we remember, or are they just, it helps us remember because we saw a home movie, or we saw, you know, back then we had three pictures of some event or one, and was just thinking about when I was a little girl, and my mom would make me an Easter dress and make my brother his little ties or vests or things. And I started tearing up, like just thinking about it. I'm so emotionally attached to the past. And saving things can help us feel connected to it. I can't even imagine what it would be like. I mean, I guess I am in this world now where we take a lot of pictures, but I don't take a lot of pictures like a lot of younger people because it's just not in my habit. I mostly forget when I get, go on to an event or something later. I think, oh, I should have taken a picture. Or with friends, I haven't seen them in 3 years. We didn't take a picture, so that's pretty bad. But if I did take a lot of pictures, like people do now, like how do you decide? Like I'd want them all. I want to look at them all day long. So yeah, okay. Chronic disorganization. The more I read about this, the more it sounds familiar. Easily distracted, loses focus easily, reduced concentration. I mean, why do they even have that on there? They already said that we're more likely to do this. So we have ADHD, struggles with time management. So those are overlaps, right? So some people with chronic disorganization may need a visual clue as a reminder to do something. And I do know that some people want to have the things that aren't done or that aren't organized or that aren't cleaned up. They want them where they see them, or they're going to forget to even do it. They're going to trip over it. If they trip over it, they might trip over it for 2 months and have that room be really messy, but at least they remember and they eventually get it done. Can you live with that? Or are you somebody who, yeah, you can put it away, you can hide it in a closet and you don't forget about it. You just always are thinking when you have 500 other things to do, you're thinking, I still have that box of papers that I shoved in that box, over by my printer, and because people are coming to visit and it's been in there for 3 months, I need to go like do something with that box of papers. Or I put this stuff away really fast and didn't have time to clean it up. Or why can't I find any socks? I thought I bought more socks, and, put a blanket over that pile of clothes, and that might be that you forgot it, or you see it all the time and you think, I know, but I'm not going to do it right now. This is making life not sound very pleasant. But if you have a challenge with it, then you have a challenge with it, right? Okay, so let's go back a little bit, because these were the thoughts that I was thinking about, and we'll see if I want to still talk about them. So disorganization, besides just being messy, can be losing track of items. So that can just be losing things. What does that do to your emotional state? So as I read through these things in my notes, see if it bothers you. Does it take a part of your soul away? I swear it takes part of my soul away, like Voldemort. When I lose track of an item, when I can't find something and I've looked high and low, does it bother me? Yes, it drives me crazy. Having a hard time starting or finishing tasks can often be just because you're disorganized, because you can't really start it because you haven't done the little things that make it possible, or you haven't cleared out a room to be able to go in and do it, or you haven't washed the dishes that you need to be able to bake something. So, yeah. Do you have trouble prioritizing? Yeah. Okay. Some of these things, I'm going to just go past that. So there can be mental clutter and there can be physical clutter. And the mental clutter can come with the things that are chaotic in your life, like not being able to keep track of something or finding out that you didn't keep track of something, that somebody says, I thought you were going to go to that concert tonight. I thought I was going to see you there. And you think, oh, that was tonight. And your disorganization made it that you didn't get it on your calendar, or that your time blindness, which you're working on something, but you're not organized enough to figure out the timing of it all and maybe have an alarm set or whatever. So that's a system of organization for your time, right? So ADHD can impact all of these things and make it so that you're not on top of things. So when you have a difference in dopamine regulation, dopamine helps you get things done and not only have the ability to do it, because we talk about overwhelm a lot. It's not only the problem with taking that first step, but it's in finishing it. that sometimes we can work on stuff a long time or for a little while. And maybe we even have more time. A lot of times we don't have enough time. And I've talked about that before, that you just do a step or two. And that might be frustrating that you didn't have enough time, but it's going to lead to getting it done eventually, right? Hopefully. But sometimes you've gotten yourself to take the first step. You've gotten your wheels rolling and you're getting a ton done. And you get to that last piece. It might be the cleanup piece. You've been wrapping presents for Christmas. You've been baking and you've been making bread and doing all these things and making gifts for teachers or whatever it is. And you've been super productive. And then you get to that last piece of the cleanup, or you look at it, it's just overwhelming. And your brain may not just have, it may not have the dopamine it needs. It may have been kind of gliding. So you're going and you're just gliding along, but then you get to a mountain. Do you have enough stamina to get up that mountain? Like, some parts are more fun for us, or we understand how to do them better and they just are more doable. And it might sound like it's a motivation thing, but it can also just be really practical. Like, I don't like doing that part as well. And that's a nice thing when you have somebody working on something with you. That, or even I just see that in my marriage, where there's some things that I don't want to do that part, and that part doesn't bug my husband to do, or something that he doesn't like to do. And I think, oh, I can do that. You know, I can call the doctor, I can make some phone calls, you know, although I'm getting kind of tired of being on hold a lot lately, but yeah. So whatever. Let's go back to, yeah. Time blindness, memory challenges, some of those things can affect it. But I think the stress level, it's a tie of things that are emotional, right? Of sometimes we are dealing with having too much. You know, you think, what did they used to say, garbage in, garbage out? What does that mean? It seems like it was like learning about the digestive system, but you wouldn't say garbage in. You know, but even the digestive system, you eat, you drink, you digest, you use, and what you don't need needs to leave, right? And we bring so many things into our homes. Think about it. How many things do you buy or have delivered to your house, your apartment, wherever you live? And how many things do you take out? Can you keep putting things in your home forever without running out of room? Of course not, right? But, you know, we don't have a house that's infinity square feet. So at some point, we're going to lose that balance. And it's possible that we're losing that balance too early. And I can raise my hand and testify the fact that having a bigger house and more closets and more drawers and more space is helpful. But it's really easy to fill up all those drawers, all those closets, all that space with things that I'm not using. And those things weigh on me emotionally. It's like, I'm not using that. We haven't used that in 5 years. I did throw away. I'm so proud of myself. Today, I had a bag of things that I found in the attic that was from one of the drawers in our kitchen. It was probably the junk drawer, you know, that had staples and pins and odds and ends things. It was up in our attic, and I think I took some things out of that bucket maybe a few months ago, and those are some things that I thought, you know, I can't deal with. Like I'll do things in stages, and today I pulled out maybe 6 things and threw the rest away, and I didn't let myself say, like, oh, there's sections of staples that you can put in a Ziploc bag and put next to the little box of staples. I mean, how often do I use staples? Hardly ever. My kids aren't in school anymore. So I made myself throw them away. I'm so proud of myself. But where are your challenges with this? Do you have challenges with it? Do you feel like when you're looking at something that needs to be done, like in that case, I'm not emotionally attached to a staple, but I'm emotionally attached to the idea of not throwing something away that can be used again. But what if I'm never going to use it again? And then is there a place for it at a thrift store? Probably not. So like, you know what I mean? Like it's those battles in your head. It's those conversations. That's what wears me out. That's what makes me think I can't think about this right now. So I will just leave that in my attic. And the next time we move, that could just be in a box going to the next house. That's ridiculous, right? That those other things weren't used in my last house because we still have them. And we moved almost 4 years ago. So that's kind of crazy. But there are also other consequences of being disorganized. You could hang on to stuff that you have to keep moving. So that's, you know, or that you have to push past to find something that you do need. And you can also just have problems with, you're so disorganized, you're not going to be able to get yourself ready in the morning as fast. So like if you have a system with your makeup, with your towels, whatever, if everything's organized, then when you get out of the shower, you know where to find a towel. When you go to brush your teeth and you run out of toothpaste, you know where to find more toothpaste. And if you don't, if you have to struggle to do every single one of those things, it's going to take so much longer than it will to just go through this little flow. And that's what I always think of, like, go with the flow. Like your life is just flowing. You're just doing this. And now I'm going to do this. Your brain doesn't have to work to do it. And those things can make you late. They can make you miss a deadline or whatever it is. If you're trying to finish something by a certain amount of time, you might not be able to do it. It might make you have a late fee on something because you weren't organized enough to know when the due date was or pay attention for that, you know, and you didn't set up some kind of system to help you remember. I'm kind of frustrated right now because our homeowners insurance switched portals. They used to have auto pay. Now they don't. And it's not like you can just pay monthly on a certain date. Like the amount changes and then you pay like one amount and then you pay on these eight different dates and then you don't pay for, I don't know. The way that I set it up was I sent myself email reminders out into the future with the link to pay it. But why should I have to do that? Why should they should just let me auto pay, you know, or they should send me the, they send stuff in the mail, but then I have to open the mail. Then I have to go open the computer and go, what is this about? You know, I need it to, so I have to streamline my system. I have to come up with a system that'll work better so that I'm not missing a deadline. You don't want to not have homeowners insurance because not only is that risky if there's a problem, if there's a fire or anything like that, but also been there, done that. I went on a trip last year to see my parents and help my parents go from the world of getting a bill in the mail and driving to the place and handing the person a check in real, you know, in person or putting a stamp on it, mailing it. Like that was what my dad did. He loved to do that and he loved to talk to people. And that was all wonderful. But when they moved, they needed to be digitized. They needed everything to be online. And I went there and not only physically did that, but emotionally helped them with that. In the process, I forgot about my own. I wasn't taking care of my own system, my own financial system, because I was somewhere else. And I should have foreseen that. I should have seen, I need to make sure that while I'm gone, this isn't a problem. And it was a tale of unfortunate events that led to, you know, like the bill was only sent through the mail and it wasn't sent to our house, you know, all this stuff anyway. Oh, yeah. Okay. But yeah. So there's also stress that we can feel. Maybe it doesn't bother you. Maybe it does to not be on top of things. You know, not being on top of where your things are. So I don't have this. I'll buy another one. I don't have the kitchen clean. That's okay. I can cook this way. I'll just wash this one dish and that's okay. You know, so maybe those things aren't bothering you. There are things that can stress us out socially, that not everyone looks favorably on disorganization. If you're late, are they happy with you that you're late? Because of being disorganized, because of that whole things didn't go as well because I didn't know where to find this. I wasn't sure where that was, all that stuff. You can feel the judgment of others. You can feel the wrath or just, I don't know, you just don't feel respected for sure. And you might feel misunderstood. You might feel a sense of shame, like, why can't I do this? How come other people can and I can't? I want to be this way. Why can't I? And then you can also just have things take more effort. So that's stressful to, it's like, you know, driving with the brakes on, which you should never do. But if you drive with the brake on, it's harder on your car. And you think of trying to push a stroller when the wheels are locked, it's not going to work as well. So that's like real friction. I made an episode a few weeks ago about friction, but that real friction can be something that gets in the way of us having a sense of an orderly life, whether it looks orderly at home or in your surroundings, but in the way that you function. Do you show up somewhere, not only with things not working out, but then having a story to tell and not getting a positive response? And I'm not saying like you're going to go like disrespect people's time and be inconsiderate. It's like something that you weren't able to help because you weren't set up for it. You couldn't help it in the moment. Maybe for the future self, you could help yourself, but maybe in that moment you couldn't. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And a lot of advice that we get, you know, like just be more consistent, do the, all those things. They're the kind of things that we think, yep, I'm going to do that. Some things, you know, when people give you their advice and say, all you have to do is do this. I hesitate to share too much because I never know who in my real life is listening. But I had a well-meaning relative recently. I'll say not real recently, offer me some advice because my glasses kept falling off of my face. And I was explaining to her, well, I'll show you these glasses. They have a little rubber thing that I just bought. Oh, did it fall off? Oh, these ones don't have it on. So these ones will fall off if I bend over. But I was explaining that, which I know not everyone wants to hear a story, right? But physically, anatomically, my husband explained this to me because he's an artist and he sees dimensions and things that I don't. But the top of your nose where your glasses go is supposed to be in line, most people anyway, with the tops of their ears where the glasses go. So with gravity, they're going to stay there. They're not going to slide down. If you're like me, I have another half inch, at least. I've never measured it, maybe a full inch, that the top of my ears are lower than the top of my nose. My dad is the same way. My daughter, my oldest daughter, is the same way. Yay for genes, right? But when my husband told me, that's why your glasses always fall down, I'm like, oh, okay. And so then I explained it to my dad because one day he's just like, yeah, this always happens. I'm like, oh, that's where I got it from. But I was explaining it to my aunt because my glasses, every time I turn over, but I couldn't see the puzzle. We were working on a puzzle. Well, I just said who it was. Anyway, I wouldn't be a good, you know, don't tell me what gift you got for somebody. I might let it slip. But anyway, we were working on a puzzle and my glasses kept falling off. And so I had to keep holding them with two hands, but then use one hand. And yeah, my glasses get you looser too. But so I'm telling the whole story. And not everybody wants to hear the story. They want to make a solution. So she told me that I should just have one pair of glasses, wear them all the time. And then I won't lose them because I always have one pair. Because I also told her I have multiple pairs since I lose them all the time or drop them and scratch them and all those things. Anyway, she had that solution. And there may be times in your life that someone tells you a solution. And her solution wasn't what I wanted to do. I don't want to wear glasses all the time. She was telling me, you know, like where, and I know this to some degree because I've gone to the eye doctor, but you can get progressives where you can look through one part and see the close-up. What you can, and I like to complicate my life and say, I need one pair for looking at my phone close. I need one pair for looking at my computer. I need another pair for nighttime and another pair for far away, like at a football game. And that could be the same as the nighttime from the astigmatism. But, and I could get the progressives, but I really, most of the time, I don't need glasses. I'm not always driving at night. And I don't care if things are super blurry far away unless I'm at a football game or like a concert and I want to see better the person or something. But it only bothers me when I'm on the computer or when I can't see close up. So I've been trying to find a system, and I was pretty happy with it at the moment, except for the part that my glasses kept falling off. And I recently found these little black things that they're just on Amazon, and I just put them on the backs, and they kind of scratch up your hair, pull on your hair. But that's my new thing, but I just don't have them on these for whatever reason. Don't need to hear them all, I'm sure. But anyway, my whole point is sometimes why you're not organized, why I'm like, I can't find my glasses. I can't look at the puzzle right now. You know, so I'm the bumbling, disorganized person right now with my glasses. And she had a solution. And you might have people say, well, just do this and you'll never have to deal with that again. And that might be the ding, ding, ding. That is the best answer I've ever had. Thank you. Wow. I've had people suggest things and I think, oh my goodness, light bulb moment. Wow. But a lot of times what we hear, get a planner, get a planner. I use a planner and everyone uses planner and, you know, or use Google Calendar or use Apple, you know, whatever it is, all those things, set an alarm. Those might work for you and they might help one piece of it. But until you try, because your brain isn't the same as the other person's and what you're drawn to, what you like to do, if you like to wear glasses all day long, if you don't, you know, whatever, then don't wear glasses all day long, you know, the whole thing. And that's okay. So that's why I don't give one size fits all advice. What I really want you to do is keep learning about your brain. Keep figuring out, why is this happening? Why? What parts of my life am I organized in? And like, let's pat ourselves on the back for anything that we do that we feel good about. Even if you feel like I'm not organized in any way, just pat yourself on the back anyway. Because, you know, you're thinking about it. You want to find a way to make life go a little more smoother. And that can be what organization looks like to you. I really didn't know growing up that there wasn't something I don't know how to even phrase this. I would say I grew up in my mom's family, the aunts and my mom and my grandma, very much, and I don't think they do as much anymore, but they very much looked down on anybody who like, oh, I went to her house and it was messy. Like that was a judge of character. I went to her house and it was so messy. Hearing that growing up, and I kept things clean. I went and played with friends. I didn't care if things were messy. I mean, I never really thought about it. I don't think anybody's house was messy that I can think of. Maybe a few. I don't know. But it didn't make me judge other people. It made me think they were judging me. And if someone showed up at my door on a weekend where I didn't feel like cleaning at all and felt no pressure to do anything and stay on top of anything, I felt stress for months, years about that person, what they saw when they walked in my door. I don't even know the name of that person, but I can see that person in my mind. It was someone I knew from church, and I don't know that he cared. Maybe his house was messier than mine. Somebody helped me once. She said, don't ever worry what your house looks like when teenagers come over, like your kids' friends. She goes, I'm sure their room looks a lot, you know, like that your son's friend's room looks a lot worse than your kitchen or whatever. But yeah, it's like that social pressure. And yeah, so, but I've learned not everybody cares if their house is tidy all the time, but it does make things work out better as far as being able to find clothes, as far as not having food spoil in your kitchen and fridge and all those things. Oh my goodness. Okay. Should I give you any advice? No. I don't think I'm going to give advice. I'm sure I have some in other episodes and you've heard it all, right? My biggest piece of advice is learn as much about yourself as you can. Learn what goes easy for you, what goes easily for you, what's easy for you to manage, what's not. Paperwork can be a big one for women with ADHD, maybe for men with ADHD, maybe for everyone. I don't know. But if you can't keep track of things, any system that you have, even if there are papers that are piling out, even if they, you know, you bought a bin for them and they're all like thrown in there weird instead of stacked nicely, feel good about the junk mail that you threw away or shredded. I told my husband the other day, I want to find the addresses of all these people who send me junk mail and just send them stuff and just mail stuff to them that they have to deal with every day. That's how angry I am. They're giving me tasks. They're giving my brain fatigue every day. I should just tell my husband just to throw it in the trash and not bring it in. I should do that, huh? So he always brings it in, and then I look at it, and I get stressed. Because there are always things that I do keep, even though I've tried to, you know, go paperless. Yeah. But yeah, look at the areas that you feel disorganized about, and know that the emotional piece is real. Like, if you feel stressed out about it, what can you do about it? Sometimes you can tackle what's disorganized, and other times you just have to give yourself, I guess this is my other advice, huh? You just have to give yourself new framing in your mind. Like right now, I told myself, it's okay if my kitchen is messy from Easter yesterday. We did some cleaning. My kids helped last night, but it's not the way I like it to be. It's not a clean slate of counters all clean and all that. And I made peace with it. I told myself, I can ignore this and I can go record my podcast. I can do that. That's not something I can normally do. I usually can't be productive with something else if I see some open area in my house that's not clean. It bothers me that much. It doesn't bother me because I'm afraid someone's going to show up. It bothers me because it's a visual thing. It's like a feng shui thing. It's not pretty. I don't know. If you have thoughts on that, tell me. Tell me your thoughts. I would love to hear, why do you think, I'm sure some of you are out there ADHD experts in other ways, right? I know there's ADHD coaches, and why? That's what I'm curious about. Not how to take care of it, but why am I so emotionally attached? And then just pondering that and telling yourself you'll be okay. And that you're okay even if you feel emotional depth with things. I think it goes along with the RSD thing, the rejection sensitive dysphoria, is that some people can say, oh, you're so sensitive. And that's with feeling rejection, right? That's feeling like somebody doesn't like you. But you can also be ultra sensitive in other ways. Ultra sensitive in, but when I see this dress that I bought when we lived in this house, when my kids are still growing up, that reminds me of a time, and I like to touch the fabric and I like to see it in my closet and it's still there. And I tried it on last year and it's a little tight in the zipper, but, and it wouldn't look good on me at this age anyway. It really wouldn't. But if I want to hold on to it, I'll hold on to it. But it does stress me out to see it for some reason because it reminds me of that time and I get emotionally attached to it. Is that weird? So it's that paradox of, I like having it because it connects me, but there's something emotionally painful. There's something that's hard. I've never cried on my podcast before. But as moms, sometimes we get attached to the past and the times when our kids were little. And, you know, my dad would always say, life will never be as easy as it is right now. And it wasn't easy. But there's a joyfulness and a simplicity in that. And especially when you're looking back at the memories, right? You're not hearing all the noise and you're not seeing how hard it was then. You're not at all. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever seen anybody else cry in a podcast? I mean, people cry in interviews. Yeah, I have. Okay. I watch a lot of Survivor podcasts. I saw someone tear up. Yeah. So, yeah. I like the emotional connection and I can feel pain or sadness or something with the emotional connection at the same time. It's like a love-hate relationship. Okay. Thank you for listening. I'll get this out for tomorrow morning. I still have a few more in mind. But today, I've been watching grandchildren once a week on Thursdays and decided to do Monday instead. So if you're picking up background noise, I apologize. I know on podcasts, a lot of times a host will say something like, oh, did you hear my cat or my mom just knocked on the door or whatever, and you never hear it. But they might have better software than I do or a more expensive microphone. And I was playing with voice isolation and stuff. I know how to do it on Zoom, but I don't know how to do it on here. So another day, another step. In fact, that's another topic that I kind of want to talk about how much we learn by doing and doing and doing. Incrementally, And it's fascinating. I love it. I love it. And sometimes that can help you over a hurdle of not wanting to do something. It's always fearful to not want to do it and mess up. But especially when other people might see it, hear it, judge it. But we're all just going through life. I don't know why we're all so judgy, huh? I'm sure I am too, but we're all just going through life. So anyway, that's it. Thank you so much for being here. I will be back. Bye.
Help other women find the show. Rate, review, share with someone you know. Help other women find my show. Rate, review, share with someone you know. Hurry before you forget.
Sound has yet been found, but not by me.